Epiphany in the middle of August, and we have more on the Great Blessing. Actually, some different puzzle pieces that bring it all together. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots and putting the pieces together. This is episode number 480 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. During this 10th year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
There are some beautiful places on Earth, and Reno, California is one of them. I happen to be recording from Reno, California today. Happen to be here, waking up here, on my way to the solar eclipse. Yes, we are going to be witnessing this historic event, the eclipse of the sun. We're heading up to Portland, Oregon, where we're going to be doing services over there. And then Monday, all goes well and the clouds back off, we should be seeing what has been described as an epiphany experience. But I happen to be in Reno. You probably could tell that my voice is a little bit different. Actually, I'm very disappointed in the rush to start getting out of the house and packing and everything. Just like took the old, what was our old headset for recording. And I used this many years ago for The Next Step. And I hadn't tested it since because, you know, most of The Next Steps, we sit in front of our nice microphones and our big, powerful microphones. But this was a headset that I had gotten when we were originally, I think, probably in the first or second years of The Next Step. And I remember doing some off-site recordings and on-location recordings, particularly in Arizona. And I thought it was okay, but right now, listen to the quality of it. What's coming in through my headset is just, I don't know, not happy with it. And in the old parlance, it was called tenica. You know what a tenica is? Like a tinny sound. Kind of like AM radio. Is that right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to do with it, and hopefully you'll do with it, too. We'll get through today's podcast because there's a lot I wanted to share with you. A lot has happened in this week. And as I said, we're on our way towards Portland. We're going to be seeing this historic event. I've always wanted to see a solar eclipse and have been tempted on many occasions to just go out there and see it. But they're usually like in the middle of the ocean. Well, of course, yeah, like 3/4 of our Earth is water, yeah. And it's usually in these real... usually in the southern hemisphere, so unusual. I think it's been 99 years. I think 1918 was the last time that the eclipse went from one coast to the other coast in North America or in the United States. But in North America, I do remember as a kid, we were warned, don't look up at the sun. There were some partial eclipses that we saw in North America. I've witnessed them and been a big fan of just this phenomena. I think the phenomena, to me, is just so remarkable that the moon is proportionately to the sun and to the earth, is just in the right spot to be able to block it out. If it was a few thousand miles this way or that way, and it wouldn't work. Okay, the proportion wouldn't work. It wouldn't block it out. Obviously, if it was closer, yeah, it would block out more, but it would be hurling towards us too, wouldn't it, from gravity? Anyway, in Reno, we are en route to Portland and had a chance to spend the night here in Reno and wake up to this gorgeous, gorgeous sun. And I don't know, it takes me back. See, our family started off in Northern California. Now, Northern California is really a misnomer. Really, Northern California is where we're heading today, and then from Northern California crossing the border over to Oregon. It's a misnomer because when you think of, when we say Northern California, we're talking about the San Francisco Bay Area. So when we first got married, got ordained, my first parish was in San Jose. We referred to that as Northern California. It's actually right in the center of the state, because just as much room as there is from, let's say, from the San Diego border to San Jose, there's about the same amount of space in California from San Jose to the northern border. So the problem is that there's not much activity. There's some wineries. There's some beautiful areas. I mean, really, really gorgeous areas. There's forests up in Northern California. But usually most of the state activity is between the San Francisco and Los Angeles or San Diego areas. So we took Highway 395. We took the back route. Just some gorgeous, gorgeous areas, including seeing Yosemite from the other side. See, now most people who go to Yosemite will go into Yosemite via the Fresno area. We actually saw it from the other side, from the 395 side, and we passed by Mount Whitney, the highest peak in the contiguous United States. I think it was, what did they say, close to 15,000 feet, 14,000 something anyway. Just beautiful. Beautiful. And when I tell you that I needed this, that's really, really an understatement. I really needed to get away. I'm already feeling much better just being away for the day. But let me share with you what we're going to be doing on the next step today, because I have a lot of stuff that I want to cover. And once again, with apologies for the sound quality, because I am not happy. But you know what? Let's get through this. First of all, it's a point of clarification. Yes, last week, as I shared with you about Osvazadzin, I did share with you about an incredible churchman that was very very special to a lot of us who knew him. He was a saintly man who had been through so much, Bishop Asuri Grazarian. And I shared with you the story that he told me in Australia, that he blessed apples because in August there were no grapes at the time. And of course, no refrigeration units like we have right now, no commerce the way we had right now. So when I asked him, yes, he said we blessed apples. Now, I did also say that he was in Australia and the primate of Australia. I forgot exactly, but I did get a clarification which I want to share with you. And this is from Laura from Down Under from Australia. And, well, let me just read it. It's a lot easier than trying to summarize it because there's so much meat in this one. Okay. Hi, Father Vasquez. I just heard the podcast and watched the Bible study this morning. So grateful for technology and the screens, in quotes. Yes, you do remember those screens. You do remember that technology and trying to avoid the screens. But I'm glad you're not avoiding the screens. And let me just make a little bit, a small little side note over here. The Bible studies we are producing on YouTube. And for some reason, whatever we produce on YouTube is not getting the audiences that we're getting on Facebook. Facebook will get, like, you know, in the thousands. YouTube, I don't know if it even gets 100 or something. I don't know what the reason is. I want to make sure that you all know that everything we do on Facebook gets archived over on YouTube. So check it out. It's YouTube/Armadoxy, and everything that we have is over there. So, and including our Bible studies that we've been doing on Monday evenings. Anyway, Laura continues, and this is the meat of it. To clarify, Archbishop Osorik's connection with Australia, he was actually invited to set up the church in Australia, arriving in 1954. He was still an archimandrite then, in Armenian church vernacular, that would be the Vartabed. He was still a Vartabed then. Within 3 years, a church was purchased. However, he was called back to Jerusalem. He was consecrated a bishop in 1957 and appointed the delegate of His Holiness Vazgen I for the Far East, which oversaw Australia. Our diocese was not established until 1968, and our first primate was Bishop Karekin Kazanjian, later to become the Patriarch of Constantinople. Bishop Ossoli consecrated the first church in Sydney and returned in 1962 to consecrate the first church in Melbourne. He's left his mark in all corners of the world, hasn't he? And Laura continues with some nice blessings. And thank you, Laura. Let me just do another couple side notes over here. Those dates that she throws out, very important within the life of the Armenian Church. These were years of turmoil when she says that he was consecrated a bishop in 1957, that he was called back to Jerusalem. These were times, very, very difficult times, the 50s. You've got to remember McCarthyism. You've got to remember communism. Armenia is a communist place. What we were going through internally as Armenians, it's a whole different other story. And Archbishop Ossoli going to Jerusalem to really stand for what was holy, what was sacred, to be called back there, to be part of the army, part of the brotherhood. Very few people know this story. In fact, there's a couple people who still are around that do know the story, and actually personally I'm after them to put it down, even if it's a recording of these stories. Very, very important to be in those monasteries. I mean, you had one archbishop who was elected as the Patriarch of Jerusalem. Actually, the King of Jordan sent over troops to remove him. Yeah. You had Vazgen I of blessed memory in Etchmiadzin fighting against his own people who were trying to label him one way or another. It was just horrible, horrible time. And Bishop Ossoli rose to the occasion by going and being one of the soldiers during a very, very difficult time. So I appreciate this little history. Laura, thank you very much. It kind of like is a piece in the puzzle that we needed to hear. Anyway, I did ask Laura. I said, so what did you do in August? Did you bless apples? Because that is the big question, right? And she writes back, no grapes or apples blessed for Osvaldzazin in Australia. We purely celebrate the Holy Mother and her piety as an example of servanthood to the will of God. We celebrate the first fruits on the last Sunday in January with the blessing of grapes. Which, of course, makes a lot of sense. It's middle of summer over there. So anyway, thank you very much, Laura, for following up on this and for clarifying and bringing those puzzle pieces together. Really appreciate it. And no matter what, I think she hit the nail on the head when she said all we really do is we purely celebrate the Holy Mother and her piety as an example of servanthood to the will of God. I mean, isn't that the whole point of this? And our servanthood is measured by what we do, what we bring to God, what we offer to God, how we use our talents, how important it is to express ourselves, our individuality, our creativity through those talents. So we'll be sharing that in the second portion of today's show. Right now, we'll break for the song of the day, an unusual one. I don't usually pick these kind of songs. I usually use them in different ways, but today is just so beautiful. I'm waking up in Reno, California, and I can't think of a more catchy tune that's coming into my head than this one. And I want to share it with you, okay? Enjoy. Cat Stevens.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
Morning has broken from Cat Stevens. Doesn't need too much definition there. Put a link on today's show notes. One of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites, Cat Stevens. Had a chance to enjoy his music too in person, live. One of the first concerts that I went to with my sister back at the Inglewood Forum, where we were way in the back and he was a tiny little dot on the screen, I think. He was just a tiny little dot in person. Yeah, no big screens at that time. I hope you enjoyed it. It certainly described what I'm feeling right now, waking up here in Reno, California. Cat Stevens. Well, we are at the second portion of today's show, talking about Ostwazadzin, finishing it up, so to speak, what we've been doing this few sessions in a new epiphany, what I call the epiphany, a new revelation of understanding Ostwazadzin, and of course dealing today with this horrible microphone situation. But in any case, I hope you will put up with us, just as I'm putting up with it too, and we'll get through it. Epiphany, that's an interesting word, because I did meet a dear friend. I hadn't seen her in 25 years. She was singing in the choir at Yetem, and she came up to me and she said, "I've been away in Saudi Arabia." And when I told her about the eclipse, she says, "I've seen three of them, three total eclipses." And she says, "Let me give you one word: epiphany." Wow. So I'm going on that little epiphany right now. But also the epiphany that we experienced together within this ministry, because a few weeks ago we came to the conclusion that it's not just about, well, the grapes, of course, our productivity and what we do, but it's about the talent issue, about using it. And we took some specific passages that our church fathers had given us. If you remember, go back into the last few podcasts, and you'll see how we developed this idea. So I'm glad you're along for the ride, because this sort of ends this session. Okay, we're going to end this session about Asfal Zadzin, about a new understanding of what the Feast of Asfal Zadzin is about, based on our study, based on our observation of what our church fathers have given us to read, to meditate upon, to pray about as we approach the Asfal Zadzin. But this took place in Yetem, California. Now, quickly, I've shared with you in the past, but quickly, Yetem is one of the first settlements of the Armenian community post-genocide, 1915. After the genocide, after the first group of people had come to California, this small little area, small little patch of land has been called Yetem. Yetem in Armenia, it's the Armenian word for Eden. Edom, Yetem. Edom is... directly translates into paradise, comes to us from the book of Genesis. There was a garden called Eden. It was the paradise where everything was perfect. And the Armenians who came to California, they received this patch of land, and there's all kinds of stories about it. I heard that there's, I think our good friend Janine had put something even up on Facebook. I haven't seen that one yet. I just heard about it this morning. But we'll take a look at all that. But whatever the case is, whatever the situation is, how they got the land, the important thing is that it has developed. Yetem became this small little community where Armenians identified themselves within the bigger structure of America. And this is important. It's an identity issue, okay? It's not just like you're going out there in this big melting pot, but you are identifying as a community. And the center of that community is this church, St. Mary Armenian Church. Now, the church that we were at, apparently there was a fire in the original church, and this was built, I believe, in the 40s, they told me. But again, we're not here for the history lesson as much as to understand how all this plays into our new understanding of St. Mary and the feast that goes around it. So let me share with you what happened last Sunday. We took a small group from Glendale, from our Bible study, actually. Our Bible study group got into a couple vans, and we headed up to Yetem. And there we were greeted by the most warm people that you could imagine. I know, your church is nice, too. Okay, you guys are warm. But this was really, really warm. Just a warm group of people who welcomed us into their community. And it became our community, too. Yetem, California, you go there right now. There are absolutely no Armenians. Maybe if there's one or two, we didn't know. But it's most of the people who attend that church live about 15, 20 minutes away in a city called Visalia. Now, Yetem, California is... literally, it's a street you go down. There's a post office on one side. There's some homes. But all of a sudden, in the midst of just this agricultural area, you see this towering Armenian church with its dome. And it is called St. Mary Asfal Zadzin. And we were there on the feast day of Asfal Zadzin, on the Assumption Feast, last Sunday. And on top of it, I had this unique opportunity to fulfill a personal pilgrimage, to be at Asfal Zadzin, to be at this church, and to celebrate the Divine Liturgy and participate and officiate at the Great Blessing. I mean, it doesn't get any better, right? What do they call it? The bucket list? Yeah. I mean, it was just beautiful. And I have to tell you, the entire service for me, and later on I talked to many of our people, was just so moving. Now, this is in I should say that it is in stark contrast to the last 20 years that I've been in Southern California, in Pasadena and in Glendale, where Great Blessing has taken on a completely secular meaning. In other words, you need grapes in the house, you go to church and you pick them up free instead of going to the store. That's what it is. I mean, there's this, what we saw in Yetem was really, it took me back to what the meaning of Great Blessing was all about. It's about bringing your best to the church, offering it for a blessing, and knowing that that blessing will radiate through your works to other portions of your life. The blessings that you bring to the church are then distributed to others, so others can feel that blessing. Now, as I was sharing with you a few weeks ago about this feast, we talked about the word boldness. Remember the week before Osvaldazin, our church fathers gave us the passage about the paraplegic who was brought into the house via the roof. Because there were so many people, they needed to get that paraplegic to Jesus. And so what they did is they lowered him. They took apart the roof and they brought him in through the roof. And I talked about the word boldness. They had the boldness to know that this is what they wanted and to approach God. And we shared the story of the talents, the boldness of the guy who has the 10,000, who has the 5,000, and the one who has the 1,000 who's meek, who's so scared he doesn't want to use what has been given to him, and he hides it, and he is condemned as an obscene servant, right? Ambidanzara. Gotta say that in Armenian. Really has more meaning in Armenian, doesn't it? You damned servant, right? How dare you do that? And what was given to him was taken away. And so within the context of all of this, we're understanding that the Feast of Osvaldazin is about the boldness. It's about the faith. It's about giving what you can, what your talents are, to the service of God. And now we have one more piece to that puzzle, okay? That came Sunday. Because as I was preparing for this service throughout the week, I was thinking about different things that I could incorporate in my sermon on Sunday. Now, this was an unusual sermon for me because it was the first time that I was going to be celebrating this feast and the great blessing in a community that understood grapes, the propagation of grapes. Think about that. 35 years I've been a priest. I've always served in communities that really, their grapes came from stores. This was a community in Yetem that understood when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Unless you're connected to the vine, you cannot bear fruit. Yes, we can all understand it. You don't have to be a farmer to understand that metaphor. But to understand the nuances of how that vine stands up and to understand the pain that it takes to protect it from all kinds of diseases, all kinds of small little insects and what you need to do. Hey, let me tell you something. We try. In the city, you try to raise grapes. I mean, we have. Susan has a green thumb when it comes to planting, when it comes to gardening. We put up some grapes. It's just beautiful. But the robustness of those grapes, it's different. City grapes are different. And when you're in the farm, when you are, when this is your produce, and you nurture it, and you watch it shoot up, and you see those branches bearing fruit, and you know what pain it takes to keep those fruits good, you have a different understanding. And so it was my first time that I was going to be sharing the grapes, the message of the grapes, the grape blessing, with a group of people who had a better understanding than I would ever than I could ever possibly have of grapes. And as I stood there during the service, something hit me. And I have to share this with you, because I've shared in the past that before every sermon that I give, there's a small little psalm that I recite. Lord, if you open my mouth, I shall sing your praise. I will sing your praise. And it was in that spirit that a very special message came to me, because the Bible passage, the lectionary, the Bible passage for the day came to us from the infancy narrative of Jesus, his nativity narrative. It was the passage where Saint Mary, in the fear of childbearing, approaches, and there is no room for her at the inn. No room. And it all of a sudden hit me. It clicked. That's the final piece in the puzzle of Saint Mary. The fear. The fear factor. Imagine at that age, 15, 16, 17, the fear that she had. She's in this foreign land. She's gone there for a census. Her time has come. His water is breaking. She's ready to deliver. And not knowing what's happening, all she remembers is that there was this angel who told her that don't fear. Don't fear. You're going to be okay. Who's going to be born from you will be the Son of God. And there's a man with her named Joseph. She knows him. She knows who he is. But, you know, not as a husband. Knows him as just a nice gentleman. And probably giving her the strength that she needs. And the fear that she must have had at that moment. And as I'm listening to that story, my head went back to where I am in Yetem, California, and the fear with which people had come to that area, the fear with which they had seen their mothers raped, they had seen their fathers being killed, and then they get on whatever means that there was to escape those atrocities, get on these boats, and they come across the Atlantic. They end up in a place called the United States of America. They cross the country and come to a little place called Fresno, that central valley of California, and there they see this small little bit of land, and they call it Yetem. What kind of fear do you think that they have in their heart right at that point? Can you even imagine it? Imagine that these are people who were told that there will be one Armenian left, and that Armenian will be in a museum. And now here they are, clear across the globe. In other words, 12 time zones away from where they started off. And now they're going to be starting their new life. Do you think that they had fear? Do you think that they had apprehension? Do you think that they didn't know what was going on, but just giving it all to God? Turning it over to God?
And many happy returns.
It was the St. Mary story for us. St. Mary, completely, totally in faith, saying, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will. That's it. And these people in Yetem, California, had come 100 years ago and established a church out of faith. And now what was happening? 100 years later, that same group of people that were told that there would be only one Armenian left in the world are sitting in that church worshiping. They're grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Do you know that I am the grandchild of genocide survivors? I am celebrating the Divine Liturgy. My daughter-in-law is singing the Divine Liturgy in the choir. She's the great-grandchild of genocide survivors. Now, what are the chances? What are the chances? You guys play lotteries. You guys go gambling, and you know what it's like. There's odds. There's odds to all of these things, right? Now, what are the chances that a group of people that were told that there would be only one of you left, and that would be in a museum, that that same group of people would leave an area, would go clear across the earth, all their difficulties, all of their traumas to one side, and they would establish a new life, and in that life they would start a new beginning, and 100 years later, a grandchild and a great-grandchild coming together, celebrating with other grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What are the odds of that? Impossible? Impossible? Isn't that what they said to St. Mary? How is this possible? She asked the angel. I don't know, ma'am. The angel says, what's possible, impossible for humans, for you, is possible for God. Don't underestimate the power of God. And that's what I felt at Yetem. We do not have the right to underestimate God. At the end, this is what we've got. At the end, this is what it's all about. Complete, total trust of God. And saying, let it be to me according to your will. That's the piece of the puzzle in the St. Mary and the great blessing, the productivity, and everything we've talked about for the past several weeks. That's the epiphany. It's the wake-up call. It's understanding that God's presence is with us right now. I needed to share that with you. It's the fears of St. Mary versus the fears of Yetem coming together, and understanding that one is a metaphor for the other, and our only hope in our life is for us to be connected to that metaphor. I call that the enlightenment of Astvatzazin. The old model of take from my church is at that point switched to give to my church. Because against that kind of miracle, there's nothing more I can do except to give what God has given to me. Let me take a break. I'll be back in just a couple moments after Susie makes her announcements.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, for being part of this ministry. I'm going to call it quits today. I just can't take the quality of this microphone. I think when I get home, we'll have it bronzed, and we'll keep it for all eternity to be remembered as once there was this microphone that worked for us on the Next Step. Anyway, thank you very much for putting up with today's show. I hope you enjoyed it and the insights that we provided. We are on our way to the total eclipse of the sun. What we were told is the epiphany. You will have an epiphany. They say when the sun blocks out, the stars come out. The cricket starts chirping. It's like, I don't know. I will experience it. Really excited to share it with you next week on The Next Step. Until then, I want to thank you for joining us, and join us at all the usual spots on Facebook, on the internet, at InHisShoes, and go to the Armadoxy page on YouTube. You'll see all kinds of videos. For the wonderful team who put today's show together as remotely as we were, for Ken, our engineer, Susie, our producer, this is Father Vazgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with The Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, The Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off power! On top, there's it.